This episode of Markets Daily is sponsored by Kava and BCB Group.
It's Friday, May 27th, 2022, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here with Michelle Musel for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, when Skrelly met crypto, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin is headed for its ninth straight weekly decline, its longest ever losing streak based on pricing data going back to 2011. But overall, at least for the morning, crypto trading has been mixed, with more gainers than losers in the top tokens. The old decentralized prediction market token known as Augur is today's biggest gainer, up about 11% since yesterday, while the biggest loser is Terra USD. The still collapsing algorithmic stablecoin tied to the Luna ecosystem dropped more than 50% overnight. The nominally dollar peg token is now trading at about 1/50th of its face value. As altcoins continue to suffer and Bitcoin dominance, which is the ratio between the market cap of Bitcoin compared against the market cap of the entire crypto sector, rises, traders are seeing Bitcoin as a safer risk profile relative to altcoins, said Fundstrat in their weekly crypto note. The Bitcoin dominance ratio is currently sitting at 46%. That's the highest since October of last year, and it's still heading up. But while it's been a tough time for Bitcoin traders, folks on the Ethereum team are having it even worse. One metric closely watched by traders is simply how much use the blockchain is getting. Activity on Ethereum has been declining. The blockchain's transaction volume is down by 80%, sitting at just 1/5 of the number of transactions going through just 1 year ago. That's according to data from Into the Block. For a bit of further detail, activity on Ethereum and most smart contract platforms have suffered from the decreasing interest in NFTs or non-fungible tokens. Quote, as large NFT sales have become less common and there is lower demand for blockchains, the amount of volume traded on Ethereum has been decreasing, said Into the Block's head of research. Continuing, decreasing NFT interest along with lower yields in DeFi have led to volumes dropping significantly, end quote. NFTs managed to appreciate in the first quarter of 2021. That's in contrast to other assets. But the recent decline has been rough on the Ethereum network. The takeaway for Ether from here is that in the near term, there's less demand for it, as this is the main currency used to purchase NFTs. Quote, it also means that less Ether is getting burned, since NFT drops used to be the largest source. End quote. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Lila Ledesma and managing editor Brad Cowan. Bitcoin is currently trading at $29,281. That's up a little bit over 1.25% over the last 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $1,812, basically flat in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, with traders seemingly pleased with less bad news from the Fed's meeting minutes, indexes in the U.S. and around the globe traded up, alongside ramps in the price of gold and particularly silver. Futures tied to the S&P 500 gained 1% in pre-market trading, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 was up by 1.5%. Contracts tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained less, up just half a point. Moving overseas, the stocks Europe 600 and Germany's DAX each gained a bit more than 1%, while in London, the FTSE 100 traded basically flat. Continuing to the east, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index racked up a bigger win, jumping nearly 3% on the day. In mainland China, the CSI 300 Index rose by a little less than a quarter of a point. In South Korea, the KOSPI gained about 1%, while in Japan, the Nikkei 225 climbed just a bit over half a point. And rounding out our world tour with a look at key commodities, crude oil traded basically flat at $114 per barrel, while gold rose by 0.5%, and silver jumped by nearly 2%. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from Yahoo and Google Finance. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be back with a few quick headlines we're tracking today with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode as always. Then after the headlines, out of prison and back on the streets of crypto. We'll be right back.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins, lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. BCB Group is the leading global provider of business accounts and trading services for the digital asset economy. With a dedicated focus on institutional payment services, BCB Group provides business banking, cryptocurrency, and foreign exchange market liquidity for crypto-engaged financial institutions. BCB business accounts offer multi-currency transaction banking solutions. With Blink Instant Settlements Network, you can move money instantly 24/7 with no transaction fees. Visit bcbgroup.com/coindesk to find out more about how BCB is empowering the global financial revolution.
Turning to big picture news, Federal Reserve Vice Chair Lael Brainard issued a reality check for those waiting on a digital dollar, saying that creating a central bank digital currency, or CBDC, in the U.S. will likely take as long as 5 years. In Brainard's first testimony after her recent swearing-in ceremony to take over the Fed Board's vice chair role, she told the House Financial Services Committee that the U.S. Central Bank is still studying the question and wouldn't move before approval from the White House and Congress, which in itself could add a considerable period of debate before an authorizing law could be passed. "It takes a long time," Brainard said in the hearing yesterday, comparing such a project with the Fed's still incomplete real-time payment system that's taken years to build. Quote, "It could take 5 years to put in place the requisite security features, the design features," end quote. As to those design features, Brainard said, quote, "It's probably preferable not to have an interest-bearing digital currency," answering some bankers' concerns that a digital dollar could take a massive and potentially fatal bite out of their deposit business. She also mentioned the Fed is considering caps on digital dollar holdings to encourage customers to use them only for payments and not as a safe asset for people or businesses to pile their money into. And if the Fed does launch a digital dollar, Brainard said the asset could coexist with stablecoins and the existing financial system. CoinDesk's Jesse Hamilton has the full details in the show notes. Turning to international news, Portugal's Congress rejected on Wednesday two bills that sought to tax cryptocurrencies. The bills were presented by two left-wing parties with little representation in the nation's legislature, local media reported. The ruling Socialist Party, which holds the majority of legislative assembly seats, has not yet submitted any taxation bill of its own so far, although the Portuguese Minister of Finance did announce last week that cryptocurrencies will be subject to taxation in the near future. Quote, "Many countries already have systems. Many countries are building their models in relation to this subject, and we will build our own," he said at the time. Portugal has an effective capital gains rate of zero on crypto, compared to the current capital gains tax rate for financial investments of 28%. The new policy proposed by the government would likely include a capital gains tax. A partner at a Lisbon law firm told CoinDesk last week. For more details on this one, CoinDesk's Andreas Angler reports. Elsewhere, Tether on Thursday added to its roster of stablecoins, launching a new MXNT token pegged to the Mexican peso. The token will initially be supported in the Ethereum, Tron, and Polygon blockchains, the company said. The token is Tether's first foray into Latin America and joins the company's other pegged coins tied to the U.S. dollar, the euro, and China's yuan. Mexico is, quote, "a prime location for the next Latin American crypto hub," said a representative from Tether, noting a report from AAA stating that 40% of Mexican companies are interested in adopting blockchain and crypto in some way. Quote, "We've seen a rise in cryptocurrency usage in Latin America over the last year that's made it apparent that we need to expand our offerings," said Tether's chief technology officer. The company's billing this effort as a testing ground in Latin America that it expects will pave the way for more fiat peg tokens in the region. That's another one from CoinDesk's Andreas Angler. Turning to industry news, chip giant NVIDIA said its contribution from sales of cryptocurrency mining processors, or CMP, was nominal for its 2023 fiscal first quarter, ended May 1st of 2022, and that it constitutes a drag on year-on-year revenue. The company said first quarter revenue for the business unit covering cryptocurrency mining fell some 52% to $158 million from the same quarter last year. They attribute that decline almost entirely to a drop in cryptocurrency mining processor sales, according to a filing. This comes after sales from the crypto-tied unit continued to decline with the price of cryptocurrencies in general. In NVIDIA's previous quarter, crypto mining processor revenue fell by 77% from the previous quarter. And it's worth remembering that on May 6th, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, said that NVIDIA failed to disclose that crypto mining was a significant contributor to its 2018 revenue, and the company agreed to pay a small $5.5 million fine to settle the charges. For all the details and links on the NVIDIA story, check out the linked article in the show notes by CoinDesk's Aeon Ashraf. And finally, decentralized finance, or DeFi, startup Pooltogether is in legal trouble, and it's turning to non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, to crowdfund its defense fund. Funds from the company's Pooly NFT collection, released on Thursday, will go toward, quote, "supporting Pooltogether Inc. and defending against the class action lawsuit," according to its website. Pooltogether is described as an app-based no-loss savings games where users can win prizes for depositing funds on the platform using DeFi protocols in the back end. The lawsuit they're defending themselves against dates back to last October, when Joe Kent, a former staffer for the notoriously anti-crypto Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, sued Pool Together for violating New York State's gambling laws. By naming both the company and its investors, Kent's suit seeks to determine who's legally responsible when a DeFi protocol harms a user. And depending on the outcome of the case, this could have enormous ramifications for decentralized projects, including decentralized exchanges and decentralized autonomous organizations, better known as DAOs, as a whole. Kent's action against Pool Together is seen as something of a test case to change the landscape of DeFi regulation, with the plaintiff having only deposited some $10 on the platform before filing the suit. Portions of the crypto community have rallied around Pool Together, who announced the Pooly NFT drop on Twitter on Thursday. Within just 2 hours of its launch, the collection had raised some 73 ETH, which is about $135,000, with its target goal set at 769 ETH, worth about $1.5 million at current prices. For more details and full links on that one, CoinDesk's Eli Tan and Cheyenne Ligon have you covered. Today's featured story is an opinion piece from CoinDesk's Daniel Kuhn. Today's feature is entitled, Martin Shkreli is Back. He Loves Crypto. Every so often, a figure arises who so perfectly encapsulates society's great flaws, humankind's natural greed, and our cross-cultural tendency to scapegoat our problems. That person is divisive, obviously, but also strangely beloved. Martin Shkreli, age 39, the former hedge fund manager turned convicted felon and social media troll with a cult-like following, was recently released from prison. Shkreli is that almost mythical person who signifies all that's wrong with society, and he relishes that role. He's also captured the attention of the crypto industry, a field as known as much for its problems as for the solutions that it may offer. Crypto, apparently, has captured his attention, in what may appear to be an obvious marriage. Last Wednesday, the Brooklyn, New York-born former pharmaceutical executive was released from federal prison in New York, after serving 4 years of a 7-year sentence for securities fraud and was transferred to a halfway house. Shkreli is known infamously for buying the rights to an anti-parasitic drug called Daraprim and increasing the cost to $750 per tablet, up from $17.50 per tablet. Although drug price jumps are somewhat routine within the for-profit U.S. healthcare and research industry, Shkreli achieved instantaneous notoriety for what was obvious price gouging of a life-saving drug that the World Health Organization lists as an essential medicine used by pregnant women, the elderly, and HIV-positive patients. In a non-jury trial on various financial schemes, federal and state health regulators argued Shkreli attempted to form a monopoly over this drug by keeping generic versions off the market. He said he had his reasons, that insurance companies, not people, would pay the increased price, and the profits would go to developing other medical technologies. He lavished in the abuse and confusion that he created. On social media, he was known for his inflammatory statements, like saying he wished he had raised the drug's price even higher. He paid $2 million for a single recording of a Wu-Tang Clan album, and followed that rap group's wishes by keeping it under lock and key. And incidentally, Shkreli paid part of his $7.25 million fine through the government sale of that album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which is now owned by a decentralized autonomous organization. And, following his recent release from low-security imprisonment, Shkreli wants to return as troublemaker and hornet nest kicker. Mere hours after settling into his court-mandated halfway house, Shkreli began to post under an alias. The Twitter account, at Enrique5060782, which is currently suspended, made little attempt to hide Shkreli's real identity, which is probably much to his lawyer's chagrin, who had said upon Shkreli's release that his client wouldn't be available for comment. By Friday, Crypto's terminally online knew who Enrique was and what he was about. Crypto. On Saturday evening, Shkreli participated in a Twitter Spaces audio event where he revealed that he used Uniswap behind bars, thinks Ether will flip in Bitcoin, and views utility tokens as a good idea. His statements during the Saturday night stream with upwards of 3,000 listeners, and otherwise, show that Shkreli is not only informed, but still knows how to create controversy. He said he's planning a non-fungible token or NFT drop, that Enrique may not be his only alternative avatar, and that he may be participating, perhaps as a developer or investor, in other big-name decentralized finance projects. Quote, the idea that I can't buy a Tesla share without going through this Securities and Exchange Commission apparatus and all these other steps is kind of nuts, Shkreli said in the Twitter Spaces. Continuing, there are people breaking the silo and trying to destroy it forever, I hope. He was referencing synthetic token variants of publicly traded stocks like Apple Coin and a Tesla Coin. which is what fellow flawed entrepreneur Duquan of the imploded Terra network was targeting with the unregulated securities exchange called Mirror Protocol. A16Z founder Mark Andreessen and other giants of the venture capital space, along with the recording artist and Web3 enthusiast Saya, interacted with Shkreli during his Saturday night ramble as Enrique, a Substack representative, reportedly asked him to join the newsletter platform. Many people in the business would consider Shkreli a public intellectual, worth listening to, noting his intelligence. He graduated high school in 2 years and found his way to working in a premier hedge fund before starting his own. Some appreciate his self-awareness. He has lovingly referred to himself as Pharma Bro, the jibe used in many headlines. And when he speaks, on a variety of subjects, he is convincing. Prison wasn't too bad, he said. He once said he has an extremely weird form of sarcasm and that it's fun to see people get so animated. Authenticity is really important to me, he told Vanity Fair back in 2015. That's a term also used in crypto. Although no one speaks for the entire industry, it's fair to say Shkreli has received a largely warm reception. Despite receiving numerous insults and reminders that he's a convicted felon during his short Twitter stint, the overall mood was pure delight. Quote, Martin Shkreli literally knows more about crypto than 99% of you from prison. He's talking about proof of stake and step in. No excuses, autism unleashed, end quote. Venture capital Autism Capital's Twitter account posted. And Shkreli getting involved in crypto makes sense. The industry tolerates and even celebrates controversial figures. It forgives scammers easily and allows people to build second lives, as pseudonyms or not. Onlookers might see Shkreli's open embrace of crypto and crypto's reciprocity as speaking to crypto's nefarious or facile attributes. Scams absolutely run rampant. And in a sense, these people are right. If Pharma Bro completes his transformation to Crypto Bro, that's saying something about crypto's ends and purposes. At its best, however, crypto is about financial inclusion. Decentralized finance, Bitcoin, and the myriad ways the blockchain is being deployed all share a common aim, removing gatekeepers and expanding access. This means that crypto, by default, but not always in practice, tolerates the good and the bad. It's a machine that anyone can run, no matter their objective. This is a radical view of tolerance, one that's at the center of the American experiment with free and open speech and association protected by the First Amendment. But that doesn't mean the industry needs to accept Shkreli. He's obnoxious, makes a show of drinking Chateau Rothschild wines, and a criminal. Although he said DeFi is a tool for freedom, it's clear enough he's interested primarily in building back his fortune. Shkreli is barred for life from the pharmaceuticals industry and will not be allowed to run a publicly traded company. In her decision, the judge overseeing his trial called Shkreli a chaotic, dishonest, and untrustworthy corporate leader who would likely violate the law again. He tanked at least 2 hedge funds, hid profits, and was deceptive in his communications and deals. Although he has called himself a Robin Hood, a capitalist willing to steal from the rich to benefit the needy, in his pharmaceutical business, there's no real reason to believe him. He's an orator, maybe a sophist, and perhaps it's good he's banned from Twitter, despite the joy he may bring. I wouldn't want, nor is it possible, to keep Shkreli from profiting in crypto, nor should he be scapegoated for the industry's failings. To be sure, he may also have changed. But people should consider what he builds and how he markets it when it eventually arrives. Quote, I bought an Enigma machine, Shkreli once said. I'm conflicted because it's a Nazi relic. It's like owning a gas chamber. But it's a constant reminder that we should use knowledge for good, even if the process is ugly. But if you hold your nose during the process of proving it, you get to the right place. End quote. Let the Enigma act, and hopefully, do no wrong. Hey folks, just a quick note, you can join me at CoinDesk's Consensus 2022, the festival for the decentralized world, this June 9th through 12th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the largest and longest running event showcasing and celebrating all sides of the blockchain and crypto ecosystems, as well as Web3 and the metaverse. And it's designed for crypto newbies, investors, entrepreneurs, developers, and creators. If you want to save some money, you can use code MarketsDaily15, that's MarketsDaily15 with no spaces, to get 15% off your pass. To get your pass today, visit coindesk.com/consensus2022. Thanks for listening.